Lee, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
What a segue for you guys. We're right into me from Batman and Robin. I mean, true professionals right there.
Oh, well, hey, which, you know, who are you? Are you Robin or Batman?
Oh, I'm Batman for sure.
Every guy says that. No one ever says they want to be Robin. it's so funny. Well, you know, for a long time, there was kind of like a Batman and Robin in Ottawa. You had Spezza and Alfredson, and they were rolling. And, the Senators are right now today, they're 10 points out of the playoffs when they come out of the All-Star break, Lee, which is – that's a lot of points to overcome. There's also Toronto tied with them, and there's Florida ahead of them. Is Ottawa – I know that I read the article yesterday that their GM is likely to step down and pick his predecessor, but – is he going to make some significant moves as far as a seller between now and the deadline?
It's a great question because Brian Murray, even though he was quoted from even a couple of weeks ago saying, yeah, I'd like to get a guy into Ottawa. Boy, you're right. It's a lot of points. And you mentioned it, right? I mean, they're grouped with Florida and Toronto. I mean, where is this team going exactly right now? I think they've done a real good job at, building a nucleus of young players and guys, of course, Curtis Lazar, that you guys know very well. But, a lot of guys like Mike Hoffman's at the All-Star game and Mika Zibanejad's getting better and, a young defense that they've had to deal with Mark Messot for almost a calendar year. And he's just got back the last couple of weeks. That's a very, very young hockey team. In fact, the second youngest hockey team in the NHL. So I would be very surprised if Brian Murray would do that. He's come out and said he's looking for a top six forward, but that's not a rental type player at all. He's looking to make even, he said, like a Bobby Ryan deal where you have to give up a couple of pieces within your organization, but you're able to bring in a guy that might be with your team like Taylor Hall or like Ryan O'Reilly or like a young player like that to be a part of the nucleus of this team in the top six position, and that he might be willing to give up a couple of assets to be able to do that. But that's the only scenario that I could see, and how many guys really are available at that price point anyway? Young guys that are in their prime that are ready to go here for the next 10 years. Not that many.
Yeah, no, it's very true. What about on the back end? What Chris Phillips, I know, has been a healthy scratch. Does he have anything left?
It's a great question. I mean, Chris Phillips was put out on this team, and people thought, what will he have left? He's a fifth, sixth defenseman. And he ended up playing like 25, 26 minutes a night. Probably too many minutes. In fact, it was too many minutes for a guy like Chris Phillips. But now he's been a healthy scratch, and they've gone a little bit younger, and it's a bit of a new philosophy under head coach Dave Cameron. So does he have something to offer another team at 15 to 18 minutes a night and a real good veteran presence, a guy who's kind of been there and done that and looking for a chance to win? I think so. But what really are you going to get back? You're going to give Chris Phillips an opportunity, but you're not getting anything in return for Phillips. So, on the back end, the real big question that this organization has to deal with is Mark Messot. He's a pending UFA at the end of the year. He's been, it's been almost a calendar year, like I said, that he's been out of the lineup with injury, tried to come back, played a couple games, couldn't do it. Now he's back. He really has solidified Erik Karlsson, and Karlsson's a much better player playing with Messot, because what they had to do was put two or three guys to kind of make up the ice time with Erik Karlsson. So it'd be Phillips for 10 minutes a night, and Barbieski 10 minutes a night, and you name it, they were playing with Erik Karlsson. Well, what Messot has done is kind of solidified that pairing so they can both go out and play together. Is he worth Mark Stahl money? Is he worth, Brooks Orpik or Andrew McDonald? I mean, he's talking probably somewhere between $5.5 to $6 million, and the Senators before didn't want to go above $5 million. So can they get it done? Is it important for them to get it done? If they can't, what are they going to get for him in the trade before the deadline? He really right now is the biggest piece that they have to identify. Is he a part of this core, or are they going to trade him and make sure that they get a real good return for a solid guy that will be a top two or three guy in any organization here for the next 5 to 7 years?
What would they be looking for in return, a center or wingers?
Well, they feel like they're pretty good at center right now, even though it doesn't look like it, right? I mean, Kyle Turris is there, Zach Smith's hurt, Mika Zibanejad has gotten a lot better. They signed David Legwand in the offseason. He hasn't been very good. But, they can't even get Curtis Azar there right now. And I think eventually they would like to get him there. That's a lot of number two and number three centers in the league. I don't know if you can go out and get a number one guy.
Yeah, not from Mathot.
Yeah, they'd love to have a number one guy, but you're not getting that from Mark Mathot either. So, you know, I would think another, like, for example, would you take a Mark Mathot and a couple of chips, maybe a first-round pick, and maybe another young prospect for a guy like Ryan O'Reilly or for a Taylor Hall or somebody else? Like, those are the type of deals that I think Brian Murray is looking to make. They're very difficult to be able to do, but he's looking to try and do something like that if they can't get Mathot signed. That's a big if, because I think they want him. They want him at their price, and you know, I do believe Mark wants to be in Ottawa with Eric Carlson, right?
Would they risk it? Lever Zodge joins us from Ottawa. Would they risk it and keep him after the trade deadline, even though he's a pending UFA, or do you think that he's either got to get a contract before March 2nd or he's traded?
I love when you guys ask me questions I know the answer to. 100% they would not do that. They have lost Daniel Alfredson. Okay. They have lost, you know, guys in the past like Anton Volchenkov. Brian Murray has come out and said, this is not happening. He is going to be signed or he's going to be traded. They will not be playing the game. They've just lost too many people, and Ottawa can't go through that again. They can't afford to lose Mark Mathot for nothing at the end of the year. You're not a playoff team. This team's not going anywhere this year, so you can ill afford to make that decision. That's 100% something will happen with Mathot before March 2nd.
Okay, yeah, and that would make sense. Right. And now, of course, they likely don't get the same value that they would if he was under contract. And that's just the, you know, that's the harsh reality of the NHL. I wonder if Ottawa and Edmonton could talk about a Petrie for Mathot deal, thinking maybe both guys would bypass unrestricted free agency. However, it's not a real deep crop of defensemen. And Mathot, like Petrie, maybe could get a pretty big ticket.
Well, of course, right? I mean, this is a home run for a guy like Mark Mathot. He just needs to get back playing and prove to people that he's healthy. Because if he does, he's you know, a 28-year-old guy that's going into unrestricted free agency, has shown that he's capable of playing, you know, 25 minutes a night to solidify maybe a number one guy, to play with a guy like Carlson. Brooks Orpik got 5'7". You know, Mark Stahl got 5'7". Andrew McDonald got $5 million. These guys are getting astronomical money, and he has put himself in a very small crop of players that you could sign. You're not signing a 34-year-old defenseman. You're signing a guy that's in the prime of his career. So he's ready to go. He's put himself in a great spot. He just needs to get back and prove to people that he's healthy. He's been able to do that over the last couple of weeks. The All-Star break will help him, I am sure. And he's looked real good, and he's made Carlson a much better player over the last 2 weeks. And I think Ottawa will be looking at that very seriously, not only about what Mark Mathot means to the team, but the most important guy on the team is Eric Carlson. If you can make him happy and you can make him a better player, well, maybe it's worth it.
And last, we got a lot of guys texting in. Evidently, Alex Chase on quite a few of our listeners took in their pool, and he's not doing very well. Now, I don't know why they would have taken him. He's really not a proven guy by any stretch. You know, 7 goals, 17 points. How has he looked? Has he shown you potential, or is his skating still an issue?
His skating is an issue, and that's the problem with this team, right? When people look at it from the outside, they look at the depth chart. Well, CSL's playing with MacArthur and Turris on the first line. He's going to get a lot of minutes. He'll get a lot of points just playing with those guys. It's tough. First of all, I think the world of Turris and MacArthur, I really do, but they're not first-line guys. They're real good second-line players in this league that have been thrust into a position that is very difficult, and you're seeing that they're good sometimes and not so good sometimes. But getting back to CSL, you know, whether it's been him or whether it's been Mark Stone or whether it's been, you know, they've tried Lazar, they've tried different guys to play with Turris and MacArthur, and none of it has really seemed to work. CSL, you know, only had 1 year in the league, and, you know, he's still learning. He's still a very young hockey player when it comes to games played in the NHL. If he ever makes it as a front-line top six guy, it's going to be in 3 or 4 years, and it's going to be when he understands where to go on the ice. He's trying to get to the front of the net as much as he can. But he's a good, decent player. I don't know if he's more than that.
Quickly, a learner. Is he available? How good of a goalie is he?
Well, when Brian Murray came out and said that Craig Anderson wasn't going anywhere, people then turned their attention to Robin Lehner and said, you know, this guy is the future. can we get him if we can't get Craig Anderson? If it were me, there is no hope in the world that I would trade Robin Leonard.
Okay.
Is he there yet? No, he's not. But I'll point out that you look at 90 born goaltenders in the league, and how many of them are frontline goalies for their team. There's only like four or five guys in the league that play at all, and Jake Allen and Darcy Kemper and Calvin Pickard a little bit and Robin Leonard a little bit. Other than that, everybody's older than that. And so how long does it take a goaltender to actually get there? Robin Leonard's not there yet. His competitiveness, the way that he handles himself and his compete level is like nothing I've ever seen before. This guy, to me, will win a Stanley Cup. He'll be a frontline goalie, but it just isn't happening quite yet. I would not get rid of Robin Leonard. So the price would have to be very high, but do you want two goaltenders like that on your team when Anderson's going to play? That's the other problem. Robin Leonard doesn't play because Craig Anderson has been in the top five in the league in save percentage and been the rock for this team.
Lee, great stuff, man. I appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend.
You guys enjoy being out on a Friday, and hopefully we'll have a chance to be able to talk to you soon. Enjoy the All-Star break.